Welcome back, world. Welcome back. You have now entered the Shadow Zone right here at the Mystifying Oracle Radio. Your Shadow Nation with the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter, Demon Hunter.
Oh, can you feel it? Halloween is right around the corner. I just got standing there going, dot, 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 dot.
I can't stand it. It's right around the corner. Halloween! Special thanks to our homes, all our sponsors, Stitcher Smart Radio, Spreaker, world's listening. How about you? Check them out, Spreaker.com, Planet Paranormal, Geeky Antics Network, Serious Geek, Silly Fun, GeekyAntics.net. Of course, Creative Zombie Studios. Got to check them out here in Indianapolis, Indiana, guys. Attentive Home Healthcare, AttentiveHHC.com. And of course, the SWL Project. Give, share. Everybody needs, Nathan.
A little love.
Check them out, the SWL Project.com.
Yes.
Shadow Zone.
The Shadow Nation. Hey, folks, if you haven't noticed, the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show has been promoting the Shadow Nation for years now. And because we don't like to put the focus on us, we're trying to put the focus on you.
Trying to.
You are the Shadow Nation.
Shadow.
And we are becoming the Shadow Nation. So follow along as that transformation takes place.
As my co-host so nicely, so eloquently covered what we were doing there, guys. For like you said, for years, we've said, this is your show, the Shadow Nation. So we decided to flip-flop it. Now you're in the Shadow Zone on the Shadow Nation. That's going to be the name of our show with your host, Nathan.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
Oh, it don't get smoother than that, folks. But anyway, oh my God, man. It's been a crazy day. Has it been a crazy day for you?
It's been a crazy week, man.
It's beautiful here in Indiana, though, man. The leaves are changing. The pumpkins are starting to smell. Well, they're not smelling like, you know, isn't it the best smell in the world on a Halloween night? The or any night, actually. The lid of a carved pumpkin after it's been lit by a candle. And,
You know, I went out and bought my pumpkins today. I did. I couldn't take it anymore. We did not decorate for Halloween this year, Sean.
Why not?
Well, you've been to my house around Halloween time.
Yeah, I remember we had a TV show. You did the Extreme Paranormal logo. You guys get into it, man.
Oh, we get huge into it. And this year, I was sitting there in my chair, and I said, you know what? Every year for the last, gosh, decade.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I have gone all out for Halloween. Now, you've been to my house, and I live in the middle of the woods.
You do. You do. I can attest to that.
Nobody ever comes to my house to trick-or-treat.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, you know, kids are afraid to walk through the woods alone today. What do you want?
Clowns,
you
ISIS. Know?
I give out handfuls of candy, but nope, nobody wants to come to my
terrorist in the woods.
Yeah. But so I basically decided this year I wasn't decorating.
Okay. Party pooper.
I know. I know. Mm. But my wife and I spent like a whole day decorating, 2 days taking it down.
Yeah, you're telling me about taking down stuff.
Yeah, I know, brother. Believe me, I've seen your house. And, well, not your new house, but I've seen what you've done in the past. Yes. But this year, I just was like, I can't do it. I can't go through all that. I've got too much going on. So I didn't decorate for Halloween. But today, I sat there looking at my front steps as I walked out to go to the Masonic Lodge where, you know, according to people who I talk to, we must sacrifice children in the lodge. Doesn't really happen, folks, but that's what everybody tells me.
How is Hillary doing? Oh,
hey. I don't work for the devil. I'm just in communications with the man. True. We're making a deal.
You commune with the Dark Prince.
But basically, I just decided today was while I was looking at my front house, I was pumpkinless. And I had to go out and buy pumpkins. So there's pumpkins all around my house now.
You didn't carve them yet, though, right?
I did not. I'm trying to decide if Wednesday or Thursday night is going to be pumpkin carving night.
Yeah, don't do it yet because I carved those for the party just a week and, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And I carved five of them. And I swear to God, man, 3 days later, they were wilting like rotting flowers.
If it's not below 45 degrees, they rot fast.
Yeah, brother. They do. I guess there's something because I looked it up for a long time because at the old house, we were attacked by squirrels all the time.
So they would,
literally, they would eat through your pumpkins in 15 minutes. So, me and the kids go to the pumpkin patch, we'd carve them up, and they'd go, in the morning, because there would be a gigantic hole with a big fat-ass squirrel in the middle of it, just sitting there like, what's up? Where's the next pumpkin? But
I started rubbing Vaseline around the eye. Here's a little tip, guys. Shadow Nation. Hey, Andrew. Andrew Hart's in the chat room. What's up, brother? Thanks for joining us.
Hello,
again.
Hello, Andrew.
He just dropped by. He's in the shadow zone. No poker tonight, huh, Andrew? Nothing else going on.
Hey, don't make fun of the poker, man.
I'm not. I like poker. I wish I had money for it. But no, they had the...
Well, no, you have to choose poker or kids.
That's true. Rule. Yeah, that's terrible. Terrible about the kid thing. Can't play poker. Anyway, Vaseline. I looked it up. Around the holes that you cut...
I'm sorry. Jumping from kids to Vaseline.
I've known
sorry.
Vaseline
bad
for...
Images,
if I would have stayed with the Vaseline, I wouldn't have had any kids. Oh, really? Nothing? Yeah, whatever. It's hard to come up with these jokes, guys, on the run here, on the verge. But on the fly, around the eye holes, when you cut them out, the eye hole and the pumpkin, if you swab all that down, guys, with Vaseline, it holds in the moisture and is supposed to make your pumpkins last longer. And, you know,
and that's a good tip. You know what I've added to that, brother?
What's that?
I've gone to the store and bought a 99-cent container of chili powder.
For the
mix that in with the Vaseline and rub the whole pumpkin down.
For no critters to eat it.
No critters eat it.
Mm. And one up, of course, Tabasco sauce.
Mm.
They said to rub Tabasco sauce in there. And that would work as well. But, brother, before we blabber on, because tonight's a big night. We got a lot to cover.
Tonight's a huge night. We got a lot to do in a very little time.
Tonight's guest? Are you thinking maybe we should do that or what?
Yeah, let's tell people who's on tonight.
Yeah, that's what I think. Anyway, guys, without further ado, tonight's guest. Ooh, that music gets me every time.
Ooh.
Anyway, guys, tonight's guest, she is an American actress, winner of the Action on Film International Festival Award, known for her work on films like Mulholland Drive, The Princess Diaries, that she specifically told us to put in her intro. Remember that, Nate? Yeah, she specifically said to put that in there, guys. I Know Who Killed Me, and the blockbuster smash hit The Conjuring 2, with her epic role as Valak, the demon nun. Very spooky thing to me, Nathan. Demon nuns.
I've always had a thing for demon nuns.
Tonight's guest is quickly becoming a dominant force in the world of horror films and a true star in everything she touches. Please, tonight, guys, be kind to her when she stops by. Miss Bonnie Aarons, the demon nun, known as Valak from The Conjuring 2. Only right here in the Misfying Oracle Radio, your Shadow Nation. Yeah, I do like
the
that.
The Ghost Man and Demon Hunter.
I do like the Shadow Nation sound, though. That's good. Anyway, so she's going to be in-house tonight. Always a big one coming at you.
You know, I told a friend we were having her on tonight, bro.
Yeah. What did a friend say? He passed out?
He said, dude, I know who you're talking about. She's hot in a bizarre way.
No, she's just, Bonnie's hot. A bizarre way. That's, how do you say that?
It's kind of like people look at me and go, he's hot, but he's got a baby face.
That's true.
They look at you and say, oh, Sean, he's hot, but he's kind of husky. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go with that, but all of a sudden...
Actually, women don't look at me and say I'm kind of husky. Guys, I am 6 foot tall almost. I weigh 240 pounds. You make all these people that never met me think I'm a big, chubby, fat ass, and this is not the case.
You're not as tall as me.
I'm 5'9" and a half, sir.
Yeah, well, so you're almost as tall as me.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, they say I'm cute all the way around. They don't. I'm just a big guy. Yeah, I have big shoulders and chest and everything.
Hey, you know, we were talking about Halloween costumes not too long ago.
Yeah, right now he's talking about chubbiness, and you're lying. Go ahead.
Well, that's because you're chubby and you don't want to admit it.
Whatever.
So we were talking about Halloween costumes lately. What, you know... I missed your party. What did you go as for Halloween?
You know, of course I went as Michael Myers, the epic serial killer. Everybody's favorite sister-killing madman, Michael Myers from Halloween.
Do you know what I'm looking for you as a gift right now, brother? And I'm going to tell you, even though you'll probably get it for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be like, dude, I knew I was getting this.
Valak the demon.
No. I was looking for you a top hat.
Oh, really?
Yes.
One of those
because
bowler
hats.
You
know what you have to be the next time we go to Comic-Con.
Abraham Lincoln or what?
Abraham Lincoln vampire killer.
Oh, that's true. We said that last time, didn't we? We ran out of time. Yeah.
You know, somebody looked at my beard the other day and said I needed to be Obi-Wan Kenobi. And I said, I'm going for the new Luke look since I have the broken hand already.
Yeah. You look like you look like a bowler, a professional bowler, your hands in that.
Well, you know, it's hey, that's a compliment where I come from.
Oh, but, yeah. I didn't mean it as an insult. I like bowling. You know.
But I'm looking for that for you because next year at Comic-Con, we're going in costume, brother.
Yeah, I'm ready to go, man. Comic-Con was a blast. I hope they have us back this year, guys. Of course, we're talking about the Indiana Comic-Con. We'll do any of them, but Indiana has been so kind as to let us speak there. And they have the best settings, too. I love the people. I love the feel. It's just, it was amazing, right? Had that big hall.
And if folks, if you're from the New York area, which I know we have listeners from the New York area, and by New York area, I include Connecticut, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, all that stuff.
Right.
And you want to see us at the New York Comic-Con, well, you better start emailing them so they accept our our request to show up and speak at the New York Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah, guys. Do it. Do it. Shell them. Shell them, Andrew. Andrew Hart. Shell them, buddy. Anyway, Nathan, what's going on? We're talking about TV. We're on a big Halloween TV kick, right?
We have. And you know what? I've noticed clicking around on every night when I come home. Mm-hmm. You and I both work, Sean. We come home. We click on the TV. How many times can they show the Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
It's a classic. You can get away with it. You can get
away
with it.
It's a classic. But come on. It's like every time I turn on the TV, I'm looking for something new Halloween. I watched it once this season already. I don't need to watch it six more times.
It's a classic.
Classic doesn't excuse it.
I can watch Halloween over and over and over again.
How many times have you seen Hocus Pocus this year?
Actually, believe it or not, zero.
That's horrible, brother. I know it's one of your favorite Halloween
movies.
It's
one of my favorites, man. You know, I've watched the new Ghostbusters. I'm not going to comment because Dano's our friend. Dan Aykroyd, of course. He's been on our show. And, you know,
I actually almost rented it tonight. But
not bad.
I have to discuss later why I didn't rent it tonight. But
of course, a sleeper, Nate. I wanted to tell you real quick, if you're out there at the Red Box this week, Lights Out, I would highly recommend. Very good, very holiday appropriate for Halloween movie.
Lights Out? My wife wants to watch Lights Out. You know her aspiration to like write horror.
Yeah.
And she actually, I shouldn't say aspiration. The woman's a wonderful horror writer, mm-hmm. but she sees these films and she says, I have to see that. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the ones that's on her list that we have to watch this.
You have to. It's an amazing film. I'll give it out of 10. I'd give it a 9.5. For its simplicity and the way it rolls, it's easy, it gets to the point, and bang, bang, you get your thrills and chills, and it's over. You know,
are there too many jump scares? That's my problem. I have a problem with a lot of the new movies because there's too many jump scares.
There is a couple jump scares, but there's an actual story to it. It's not just a run and gun, there's a story. So...
Well, let's not knock Run and Gun, man. That's our bread and butter.
Oh, yeah, that is. But you're talking about movies. You don't like jump scares. I mean, that was reality TV. They bank off of jump scares, guys. So, hey, Paul, what's up, man? Paul just jumped in chat. Good to have you, brother. He's in the shadow zone. Paul's in the shadow zone.
Once you're in the shadow zone, you can never get out.
We've talked about movies. Of course, Hocus Pocus, all-time seasonal favorite. And what else is your... Of course, Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I never really thought was a Halloween.
You know, it's bizarre, but my favorite, like, Halloween... And I've got a couple. I mean, to date, no vampire/zombie movie for me is better than... The Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price.
Okay, that's good. That is good. A little dated, but classic.
It's black and white. It's Vincent Price. It's kind of like Night of the Living Dead meets Dracula kind of crap. But I love it. It's my favorite.
Yeah.
And nothing beats Vincent Price.
Okay.
And so that's my favorite. Second vampire movie again, Lost Boys.
Oh, that's a classic. That is a classic.
I mean, can't beat it. That's one of my favorites. Next, you roll into the horror flicks. You start getting into it. Then you go into the classic modern 1980s on monsters. But I think my number three has to be American Werewolf in London.
Okay, that's another good one. Another good one. So,
there are my top three. I haven't gotten to see any of them this year.
Okay, well, you're going to have to get on that. Of course, my top three, Exorcist.
We got 2 weeks left, brother.
Exorcist, Hocus Pocus, and I would have to say my third one would be Amityville, the original.
Well, yeah, I can see that. I mean, I love Exorcist. For me, it's not a Halloween movie because that's like everyday crap. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, exactly. Well, talking about the Amityville too, we don't want to make anybody angry. We've reached out to Daniel Lutz. He hasn't commented yet. It's been a while back that he said he would come on. Of course, he's probably has a real busy schedule. We all have a busy schedule. But I've seen some rumblings on Facebook. Bringing up that in maybe the time of year, season, and everything. But I've heard some rumblings, not from Daniel, Christopher, somebody that used to be in the Lutz family. I don't know if he changed his name or what, but some rumblings about the true story, the inside, never before heard type thing. So who knows, guys, what's going on in the world of Amityville? It seems like every 3-4 years, something else comes up with it. Great story. I've always been interested in Amityville.
Sean, if scientific evidence came out tomorrow that said there is absolutely nothing true about ghosts or demons and it's all just a provable factor of the human psyche, would you believe it?
No, I wouldn't, because we've experienced these things. So,
but if it's a provable factor of the human psyche, that would explain why we have experienced it.
Well, the thing about science itself is it's basically guessing, an educated guess, a hypothesis, if you will, because science is proven what? By humans and by the known testing, levels of testing that we know how to prove, scientific method. So nothing, my friend, is foolproof. Nothing is 100%, and it's going to come down to a faith thing.
True, sir. Hey, brother, you know what time it's just about?
No, weren't you going to talk about Supernatural?
Oh, Supernatural, that's right. We were in TV and movies, and I stepped by. Folks, again, Supernatural, because I'm such a huge fan. Mm-hmm. Sean, going into it again, my feelings this week about Supernatural. We're going to have to get some theme music for this.
I need
basically, Sean, I'm a little disappointed.
Really? This is your favorite show?
It's my favorite show, and it's doing a really good job.
All right.
For those of you who have not watched it so far, I don't want to spoil it for you. No spoiler alerts here, except for the fact that I might slip something here and there. But, Lucifer was cast out. We have, God in the Darkness went off to have a brother-sister orgy wherever they're going to do that.
Right.
And now we're facing Sam is captured by the British Men of Letters. People who do not know the show Supernatural are listening right now going, what the hell is he talking about? Those of you who do know are sitting there going, yeah, I know all this.
Okay.
So basically we're at the point now where Sam has been tortured. Dean is looking for him. By the way, Mom is back.
Really?
Mom is dead. So this is all like coming together. Now, mind you, Dad probably would have come back if he wasn't about to play Negan in The Walking Dead. So,
exactly.
So all this is going on. We're talking to, we're making these decisions, these discussions. We're looking for Sam. And in my opinion, as all this goes on, Satan is trying to find a new body. The King of Hell is trying to capture Satan before he becomes too strong. The brothers are trying to get back together. And the Men of Letters are trying to make their imprint here in America. Mm-hmm. This felt way too much like what we're going through in the U.S. with the modern political system. It got really annoying. It was like, okay, this is way too human to be supernatural. Like that's my feeling right now.
Like they were trying to make a political statement.
It not so much a political statement, but trying to, like, people jockeying for power to do what they thought was best, and nobody wins in the end. And that's kind of how I felt when I was watching it. A little disappointed right now. However, I do have high hopes. It's been one of my favorite shows for the last 9 years. So let's see what happens. But
he's got high hopes. Anyway.
I'll find some good theme music to go along with this segment, Sean, in the future. But yeah, I have to admit, I'm a little disappointed right now, not because of the acting, not because of, you know, the blending of the characters or anything. Just the story is a little disappointing for me right now. So I'm hoping for a little more.
Okay, well, let's hope in the future that will happen. Uh-oh, you hear the music, guys. It's always fresh. Strange and weird, and it's always, well, sometimes it's exciting. And it's straight from the G&D Shadow Nation vaults, and it starts right
now.
Shadow Nation News. Yeah, there you go, Nathan. Shadow Nation News.
Hey, Sean, I've got one that's right up your alley.
Yeah, what is it?
This is right on the top of the stories you would want to listen to. It's like right there on the roof.
Okay.
In fact, it is on the roof, Sean. It's Pennsylvania man seeks to record world's largest Ouija board.
Oh, this is a good one. It's a good
this
one.
Is in Windeburg. Oh, by the way, folks, this is the G&D drinking game as well. Ghostman and Demon Hunter show gets together every week. We pick the stories right out of the paper that we want to read by the titles. We haven't read the stories, so we make a lot of mistakes.
Absolutely.
Every time we make a mistake, you take a drink. That's a G&D drinking game. Of course, we want to let you know that if we make a mistake and you drink, we highly recommend that you're not driving, listening to the G&D show, playing the G&D drinking game. We're not going to bail you out. And if there's anything important going on this evening, like you're picking out your Halloween costume, please listen responsibly.
That's right.
So anyway, Sean, Pennsylvania man seeks a record for world's largest Ouija board.
Oh, nice, nice.
So it's the Windeburg, PA.
A lot of effort.
This came out on October 21st from UPI News.
Okay.
A massive Ouija board constructed on top of a reportedly haunted hotel in Pennsylvania could be the world's largest.
Oh.
Blair Murphy hopes to have the 44-foot by 29-foot Ouija board constructed atop his home at the Grand Midway Hotel, featured in the Guinness Book World Records, according to the CBS News Philadelphia.
Okay.
For years, the roof itself was the canvas waiting for painting.
Oh.
We were talking about the Guinness World Book of Records, and they said, don't have a largest Ouija board yet, he told the WJAC. So they said they would create a category if he made the painting. Murphy, an independent filmmaker from Los Angeles, purchased the notoriously haunted hotel with friends 15 years ago and ultimately converted it into his home. Haven't you always wanted to do that, Sean? Take a haunted hotel, turn it into your home.
I sure have.
Murphy said the Ouija board, which was created in conjunction with local artists, have a drink, folks, could stir some controversy in Western Pennsylvania communities. In the town itself, I have no idea what the reaction is, he said. Mm-hmm. It's pretty conservative town. It's a pretty conservative town. Have a foot drink, folks. So I'm sure there are some mixed feelings out there.
Right.
He planned... Have a drink, folks. He plans to have the board completed on Halloween and will offer nighttime tours of his home for $10 per person.
Oh my God, I shot
so
my
there you go,
out.
Sean. Your dream, a haunted hotel turned into a home with a Ouija board on top.
I love that. I love it. Now, how's he going to play it, though? Is it like a helicopter is going to bring in a planchette?
It looks like he's building a planchette, so who knows? But, you know, planchettes are not... Like, they have to move, right?
They have to be on the
What are you going to do? I mean, is he going to put giant Teflon rollers on the bottom?
I would think so. He's going to have to. That's a good idea. Those little willy things. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, that's a great story, Nathan.
I try for you, brother. I found that last minute just for you.
That was a good one. We try for the Shadow Nation listeners around the world. Hey, Nathan, that penny, guys, lying on the ground could be worth $1,000, Nate.
Really?
100 lucky pennies worth 1,000 each have been placed on the streets of 10, count them, 10 U.S. cities. Yeah, special thanks to our friends over at the HuffPost. Do you ever pick up pennies on the ground, Nathan?
Yes, yes, I do, because I am that cheap.
Well, if not, you might want to start, it says, for all you listeners out there. 100 lucky pennies have been placed on the streets of 10 U.S. cities, which each penny is worth $1,000 prize. Alley Bank.
$1,000?
$1,000 prize. Alley Bank has announced the unusual contest began on Tuesday and features custom copper-colored discs that look like ordinary U.S. pennies. Each one bears the bank's lowercase logo and a unique redemption code. They got that out there, Paul, out there in the U.K. Lovely London, England. Anyway, the game pieces have been placed in Austin, Texas, Charlotte, North Carolina, Chicago, Denver, Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami, New York City, Nathan, San Diego, and Washington, D.C. Allie says the point of the contest is to inspire saving, no matter how small. We hope that people will have fun searching for the Alley Lucky Pennies in their cities and that the campaign will inspire people to look at money in a different way. Andrea Riley, Alley's chief marketing officer, said in a release, in an effort to help participants, the bank is tweeting out hints for each city on where the pennies could be. There you go, guys. Get out on the streets.
You know, brother, it's very interesting because years ago, I remember they did a test where they glued coins to the middle of a busy intersection.
Oh, really?
Right, like right in the walkways. They glued these quarters, nickels, and dimes in the middle.
Trying to get people killed.
And I just remember walking with my wife at the time, my ex-wife, through this intersection.
She died.
And she saw the coins on the floor, and she reached over and tried to pry them up off the ground.
Oh, wow. Tight A.
And I'm dragging her out of this busy intersection saying, you know, nobody's going to stop for you. Let's go.
Okay.
And I thought, oh, my God, this is crazy. How can you stop in the middle of an intersection to try and pull this stuff up? Well, right. Then all my friends who were from New York told me that their moms and dads had tried to do the same thing.
Okay.
You know, and I was like, I say moms and dads when I had a wife because I got married young. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. My ex-wife, my previously alive ex-wife, she actually stopped and tried to pick up a quarter in the middle of the intersection.
And then everything went bad.
Yeah. Anyway.
Hey, brother, you know what? I know I sent you a whole bunch of stories tonight, but we've got to fit in something really important tonight.
Oh, we got lots of time for that. But is that it? Is that all you had in the reserve there?
That, I mean, do you want to cover another story?
Yeah, I think I'm okay with the stories, guys. Can the Shadow Nation hold out for one more week for more stories?
I mean, the other stories are like, let's just throw this out there for them, folks. Mm-hmm. Scared of the dark, then Halloween, Sean, is coming fast. Two fearless souls are being sought to spend the night inside Dracula's castle this October 31st.
I've seen that.
Dracula and the author Bram Stoker, grand nephew Derek Stoker, is throwing open the doors to Bran Castle in Transylvania, Romania, for lucky winners to win a night in the castle to spend the night in coffins.
Okay, how do you win it? What's the details?
Well, I'm just looking at the story now. We don't read these in advance.
I need
Should
to know.
We start reading these in advance, brother? Should we ruin the drinking game?
No. But if
playing the role of Dracula character Jonathan Hawker,
I would like
Hawker
to know the
what's that?
I would like to know the details. Something this epic.
Well, it is epic. Folks, if you want to know the real rules, don't take my word on it. Go to the Huffington Post and you'll see Sleep Inside a Coffin in Dracula's Castle this Halloween.
Dracula's Castle.
Castle. Castle is not a mispronunciation.
Asshole. Anyway.
Sean Burris is a castle.
A castle. We should put in for that, Nathan. We should try that. Can you imagine the promotional thing?
Oh, could you imagine if the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show got to spend the night in a coffins and Dracula got... Of course, you've shared a hotel room with me. You know I pretty much sleep like I'm in the coffin anyway.
Yeah, you do. But, you do. Anyway, guys, Shadow Nation, Nathan, you know what time it is?
What time is it, Sean?
Oh, it's that beautiful time of year where the show we all know and love returns tonight. On AMC, of course, the smash hit. The show we know, we love, we support on
what
this
show is that, Sean?
The Walking Dead. We're each week on Rot Talk. That's a Shadow Nation original, guys. Rot Talk, Rot Talk, Rot Talk.
Rot Talk, Rot Talk, Rot Talk.
Each week we talk about what we think is going to happen. And usually what happened last week, but since it's been off for 6 months, we'll talk about 6 months ago on the last episode. But what we think is going to happen tonight on The Walking Dead. Go ahead, Nathan.
Yes. Well, no, you go ahead.
It's good to be back. It is good to be back with The Walking Deadites.
The Deadites. There's a good combination of genres right there, brother.
Well, I kind of got a long one to start us out with, and I really don't care because I've been waiting on this, the return of The Walking Dead. It's the only thing my family and I do as a family every Sunday night is we all gather around the television and we wait for The Walking Dead to come on. And then it is silent through the house when it happens. I mean, not even my daughter's allowed to talk. But anyway, guys, starting off tonight.
Do you let Sissy sit and watch The Walking Dead?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want her
really
to not be afraid of anything. There's no sex scenes. There's no potty mouth stuff. You know, it's very rare and low key if it does. My daughter.
My wife is scared of The Walking Dead, and you let your daughter watch. I'm just.
Sis isn't scared. Sis is not scared of it, man. And that, and I credit that to her being able to watch this since she was 4 years old. I do. Absolutely, I do. Anyway, guys, this comes from our friends over at the website, The Wrap, therap.com. They got a lot of movie information. But anyway, the whole world is wondering. They've been in suspense. Of course, AMC's Walking Dead, end of last season. Negan was in it. You didn't even do the thing, Nathan, about spoilers and stuff.
That's right, folks. The G&D show is bringing out the Walking Dead Rot Talk. We will probably hit a few spoilers this evening, so if you want to avoid them, stick your fingers in your ears for the next... Well, we're going to talk about this for a little while, so you might want to do it for about 5 minutes. Stick your fingers in your ears and say la 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 for the next 5 minutes or so, so we don't ruin it for you. Otherwise, folks, this is Rot Talk, so if you haven't caught up by now...
Shame on you.
Can you beat me here, Sean, as I say, screw you.
Anyway, guys, first up on the Wrap, on Rot Talk, this comes from our friends over at the Wrap, Walking Dead 11 theories on who Negan killed tonight.
Ooh.
Or who Negan's going to kill tonight, yeah. He's been going through that eeny, meeny, miny, mo thing for 6 months. He should be ready to swing away tonight, you know? You know, when he was... Never mind. Anyway, guys, basically you get it. He's been waiting 6 months because we all been waiting 6 months. So, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's a long game. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Say that real fast. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
I can't play it for, like, more than a minute, and I'm impressed.
Negan's done it for 6 months, so he's a hard A. Anyway, Walking Dead 11 theories of who Negan killed tonight. Get in chat, guys. Tell us who you thought or who you think Negan's going to take out tonight with the old baseball bat known as, I believe, Lucille, yes?
Yes, she picked a fine time to leave me.
Lucille. Anyway, the Walking Dead fans are still beating their fist against their collective chest. Drink up, guys. This isn't news, buddy. The Walking Dead fans are still beating their fist against their collective chest over Season 6 finale because they've been hanging on a cliff, of course, for 6 months. First up, Steven Yeun, Glenn. I figured that would be appropriate, Nate, because everybody knows. Go ahead. Comic book.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is where he bites it in the comic books, folks.
Yeah, this is where he eats it in the comic books, guys. It says why it's him. So we're going to do a why it's him, why it's not. How about that? Nathan, good?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Shadow Nation, good? Great. Okay. Why it's Glenn. He is the unlucky victim selected by Negan in the comics. In order to stay true to the canon, he would very well be the one who meets Lucille tonight. And this is why it is not him. Glenn had a major near-death experience in the first half of Season 6, convincing fans that the creators wouldn't almost kill him just to finish the job half a season later. That's what they say. I kind of disagree with that. Nathan?
I disagree with that.
Okay, well, I guess we'll talk about that after I go through all these real quick. Michonne! Of course, Dana Guerrero. Why it's her, Michonne and Rick begin a romantic relationship this season. And what better way to tear up the fans' hearts than to make her meet Lucille tonight when she's beaten to death. And why it's not her, of course, Michonne survives the encounter with Negan in the comics and continues to play a key role in Alexandria. There you go. That's what they say.
Well, see, my feeling on that, Sean, is in the comics, she it's Glenn, obviously. And in the newer in the comics, she also has a relationship with the leader of the kingdom, Ezekiel, when we move on. So if she doesn't have that relationship with Ezekiel, there's no reason to keep her around. And some of the spoilers leak lead us to believe that Rick's number two was wiped out, which would leave either Michonne or a crossbow-bearing motorcycle rider, which I won't mention.
That's true. And, of course, all our female listeners, the Shadow Nation, hold on to your panties, because here comes your Tara. Daryl is next up, Mr. Norman Reedus. Why it's going to be him. Daryl is a character completely original to the show, so there's no way to predict when his death will come, okay? But Reedus did appear on The Talking Dead immediately following the finale, an honor usually reserved for dead characters. Reedus is also set to star in his own travel series for AMC, meaning he could have less time to film The Walking Dead. Yeah.
This is all very true, and as we have been informed by a former Walking Dead cast member, there either has to be one of two people that go in the next year, and that would either be Daryl or Michonne.
We got it from the inside, guys. And why it's not him, of course, Daryl quickly became a fan favorite, despite not appearing in the source material. While the show has killed off beloved characters in the past, Daryl is one who will always remain safe till the very end. Maggie is next up, and Lauren Cohan. Of course, the amazing Lauren Cohan. Anyway, guys, why it's her, there may be no more fitting the tragic superstition There may be no more fitting and tragic substitution for Glenn than Maggie in this scenario. Pregnant but suffering a mysterious ailment, Maggie's death would have immeasurable impact on the rest of the group. And why it's not her, of course. The Walking Dead has staged a lot of violent, horrible demises in the last six seasons, but it has yet to stoop to violently beating a sick pregnant woman to death. But they did kill a kid on screen. That was...
That's true.
They shot a kid zombie. It's different. And, of course, our friend, Mr. Ross Marquand, been on the show, guys.
Ross can't die.
Known as Aaron.
Cannot die. He's the last surviving member of the Ghost Man and Demon on our show.
Yeah, he's the last. That's right. He was our last guy to, well, not the last Walking Dead guy to come on, but the one that's still alive. Anyway, why it is him. While Aaron has been a force for good on the show, he's only been around since season 5, Nate, his death would effectively establish Negan as a sadistic sociopath by killing off a non-key character. And, of course, why it's not him. Aaron has yet to establish himself as a major fixture on the series, and the showrunners may want to give Marquand more time to build up his character as the inevitable fight with the Saviors looms. Eugene, the goofy one. Series in the front, party in the back? Yeah, the mullet man.
But he cut his hair.
Yeah, he did cut his hair, and then he led Negan and the boys right to him. Dummy. Anyway, why it's him, Eugene has made a point of stepping up to prove himself as a survivor in recent episodes. While Negan seemingly chooses at random, Eugene's death could serve to demonstrate the ultimate sacrifice he's willing to make for the group. And, of course, why it's not him. Eugene has just become a bigger force within Alexandria, so McDermott should get more chances to further develop his character. Next up, Mr. Abraham. Now, I've heard some talk about this, Nate. Of course, actor Michael...
I have, too. A lot of people are up in the air about that.
Yeah, Mr. Michael Cutlets, of course... Last episode, Negan took the Lucille, put it next to his head, and he kind of raised his head like, come on, bring it. But let's go ahead and see what they say. Why it's not him. Abraham died in the comics in the manner that ultimately led to Denise's death on the TV show a few weeks ago when she got shot in the head, remember? Or the arrow. She got the arrow.
Yeah.
What was you going to say?
I was just agreeing with you.
Yeah.
I know that's rare, but I was agreeing with you.
With his arc complete in the comics, it would make sense to kill him off now because he's supposedly already gone in the comics. Why it's not him. Negan almost looks impressed when Abraham refuses to cower before him, like we just mentioned. That fleeting glimmer of respect may have earned Abraham's reprieve. We'll talk about that after. Sasha. Sasha's kind of getting on my nerves lately. And why it's her, it says, who isn't already tired of seeing Sasha and Abraham's romance scenes? There you go. I didn't even read this before. Who isn't already tired of seeing Sasha and Abraham's romance scenes? Why it's not her, Sasha made it no secret that she was on the verge of giving up the last season. But she managed to turn herself around. That will to live may be enough to spare her from Negan's wrath with Lucille. Next up, Rosita. The smoking hot Christian Serratos. Why it's her. Rosita suffered a major reversal of fortune this season. When Abraham walked out on her, a death at Negan's hands might put her out of her misery. Why it's not her. Rosita has proven to be a very tough, resilient character since joining the show in season 4. With a little luck, she'll get to be a bigger part of the show in future seasons. And, of course, Carl. Oh, Mr. Chandler Riggs.
It can't be Carl.
You don't know. Why it's him. Fans haven't exactly been big on Carl of late, even when he lost his eye. Walking Dead showrunners could quell some of the anger from the cliffhanger by doing away with the character. Why it's not him. Negan says, if anybody says anything, cut the boy's other eye out and feed it to his father right before he bludgeons his victim to death. Chances are he wouldn't say that if he was about to kill Carl. And that's what he said.
I agree with that 100%.
And, of course, Rick, come on. Are they really going to kill off Rick? That's all they say.
Well, no, we've already seen Rick survives.
Yeah, that's it. And there you go, guys. That is.
You want my prediction, Sean?
11 theories. Yeah, I sure do.
My first choice would probably be Sasha.
Sasha. Okay, let me write this down here. You're going to stray from the comic book. Okay.
I'm straying from the comic book here.
Brave man.
My first choice is Sasha.
Okay.
My second choice is Michonne. My third choice is Glenn.
Okay.
And fourth choice in there would probably be the mustachio.
Yeah, Abram.
Abraham.
Okay.
So but I'm thinking Sasha is probably the weakest link to get bumped out there. I would love to say Glenn is number two there, but I think the writers know the uproar that would occur. So I'm going to go with Michonne there for number two and Glenn for number three.
Sasha's number one, Michonne number two, and Glenn three.
Yeah.
Okay, those are your strong up the bats.
Yeah, I really do think.
Okay, here's mine.
As much as I think that Rosita would be a good out there, I think Rosita has more followers than Sasha has.
Okay. I have a very short take on this, guys. My pick for who gets Lucille across the head, I am going the other way. I am going with Nathan's number three pick, my number one. Glenn is going to get it. They're not going to go off canon that far. They're going to stick to the comic book line, but they're going to throw a hook at you later. Everybody's expecting it, I know, but it's not even a disappointment with The Walking Dead because they've showed they can stick to the comic book line that everybody knows and throw you a fastball later that makes you just as cool. So whether you get it now or you get it two episodes later, they still hook you. They bring you in.
Rick still has his hand. The comic book is out of there.
Okay, let me tell you another one. Funny you bring that up tonight, because you might have noticed on my Facebook page that they released a final last-minute little teaser for tonight, and Negan's talking to Rick. And, of course, Rick says, I'm going to kill you. Negan says, I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said. Say again. He says, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but I'm going to kill you. Then Negan talks to his buddy, his right-hand man. Now, here's two parts to this. Negan talks to his buddy. He says, this guy, Scott, or whatever, is my right-hand man. And he asks him, what weapon did Rick bring in? when he came in tonight, and he said, a hatchet. So Negan kind of laughs and smiles, and he says, see, that's my right-hand man. He said, you know how it is. Your right-hand man, I'm sure, is one of these five good people here. Or did I just kill your right-hand man, huh?
Yeah.
He says that, so that would knock out your Sasha.
He doesn't say man, though. He doesn't say man.
He does.
He doesn't.
I beg to differ, sir. That's the whole thing, right-hand man.
Okay.
I could play the trailer. I don't know. Anyway, and another thing, you just said Rick hasn't lost his hand yet. Well, we know Carl's eye's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And right after Rick says, I'm going to kill you, Negan's right-hand man hands the hatchet that Rick brought into the thing before he got caught. And Negan grabs Rick by the back of the jacket and says, we'll be back. And if we're not, gut all of them. Kill them all. So he takes Rick into a trailer and with the hatchet, and that's where it's left. So who knows, man? But my pick tonight is Glenn, and I think maybe the hand is going to come off tonight. Not sure.
And okay.
That's all I have this week. Nathan, anything else?
No, I have nothing else. Uh-huh. I got a feeling I'm going to lose to you tonight, brother, but I'm holding on to my answers.
I'm holding on.
Originally, Sasha was not my number one. Originally, Michonne was my number one.
Really?
Because of the inside information we have.
I was going to go with that. Yeah.
But I'm going with Sasha right now, and Michonne is my very close number two.
Yeah.
With Glenn being my number three. So.
We'll be freaking hated if we give our inside information away.
Yeah. And if our guest who told us our inside information ever knew that we were telling our inside information, we'd never get another guest. So.
No, we would be killed. Anyway, Nathan, you about ready for break?
I am so ready, brother.
All right, guys, we got to go to the break. But first...
Do I have time to carve a pumpkin during our break?
Yeah, I think you might be able to. Bonnie might not want to wait on that, but you could do it right in front of her. Tonight's
I'll carve
guest.
It while we're talking to Bonnie.
That's right. Tonight's guest, American actress and all-around bad A. She's the winner of the Action on Film International Film Festival Award, known for her work on films like Mulholland Drive, Princess Diaries, I Know Who Killed Me, and Dragged Me to Hell, and of course the blockbuster smash hit, The Conjuring, with her role as Valak, the demon nun. Tonight, Miss Bonnie Ahrens stops by studio. Get ready for that, Shadow Nation. Gonna be a hot one. Right here, the Mystifying Oracle Radio. Here's Shadow Nation. Yeah. That's epic. Anyway, guys, each week we play a independent band. One we know, we love, we support the little man on the show, don't we, Nate?
I love the little man.
I do, too. I think this band, guys, is from the Ukraine or somewhere because I can't understand them. The name of the night's band is Utana. Utana? Name of the song is Kiss of Halloween. Nathan?
Sean.
Shadow Nation, we'll be back with Valak, the demon nun from Conjuring 2. Be right back.
Obsessive food and creep things around the half my hand. I'm wearing the spirit beyond the pale in the air. But you can consider all it is rude as a daydream, and then you can wear it as the pumpkin following. To kiss you in a strange way as a daydream. Oh. I don't feel like working a penny from this ugly game. I'm still want to test your lips.
Hi, this is Dan Aykroyd, also known as Dr. Ray Stantz, Ghostbuster, and you are listening to Ghostman and Demon Hunter, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Hey, welcome back to the Shadow Nation, to the Mystifying Oracle Radio with your Ghostman and Demon Hunter. Of course, tonight's guest is an American actress and winner of the Action on Film International Film Festival Award, known for her work on films like Mulholland Drive, I Know Who Killed Me, The Princess Diaries, and of course, the blockbuster smash hit The Conjuring 2 for her portrayal of Valak, the kick-butt demon nun. Our guest is not only becoming a dominant force in the world of horror films, but a true star in everything she touches. Please help us welcome Shadow Nation to studio, Miss Bonnie Ahrens. Bonnie, what's up, sis?
Oh, you're legitimate. Hello. Lovely to be joining you.
We're legit. We're legit.
Very lovely. I like your laugh.
You love my laugh. You got the best laugh. Say, listen to that. Is that not
like a cackle?
Is that not?
I was gonna say, don't spill any water on her there, Sean. Come out the way.
I don't have any.
Yeah, watch the water.
No, I think.
Oh, and spill some wine.
It was Lorraine Bobbitt that cast out Valak in the room in The Conjuring 2. Was it?
Oh.
Lorraine Bobbitt.
Oh, Warren.
She cast something else out the car window while she was Lorraine driving. Bobbitt. I think you're talking about Lorraine Warren, Sean.
Okay. If it was a Bobbitt. Valak would have destroyed her, sent her to the bowels of hell without any return.
Right. So how does it feel to be a demon woman? I mean, you know, sexy demon woman.
Oh, why, thank you, because I've never looked better.
Yeah, I know.
That makeup.
I know. It really brought out your bright side.
It did.
Yeah, I know.
I love to scare people, so it was a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love all the stories. I'm scaring the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone's freaking out. Oh, it's fabulous. It gives me great joy and pleasure.
I was in the second row. No, I take that shit back. I never sit in the second row. Who sits in the second row in a movie theater? You can't do it.
Anyone who gets there late on opening night.
Yeah, I know. But I sit in the middle. And it was Bonnie's opening night. Of course, Conjuring 2 comes out. And everybody's talking about the... And everybody's seen your face. And, oh, my God. Nuns are spooky anyway. And then you added your own little special touch, which we'll get into that later, because you can get freaky when you want. And,
Yeah. You know, the scariest part of it all was I'm not really wearing that much makeup.
Whatever.
That's the most frightening thing.
Well, you know, those lights bleach out the skin a lot, so.
Yes.
Well. Whatever, the camera, when we had our reality TV show, Bonnie, the camera added 500 pounds to me. That's wrong. That was crazy. They made me wear a wetsuit. I'm a 230-pound guy, and they made me wear a wetsuit. That's not cool. You know,
well, that's because I wouldn't wear it, Sean. So it was...
That's true. Yeah.
What were they doing?
No, it was Extreme Paranormal on A&E. Of course, we got canceled after the first season, but we were out there, we did it, and we went to these haunted locations and tried to summon you, basically, Valak and people like that. And thanks for not showing up, by the way, and got us canceled. What an ass. Yeah.
blame it. If I had something to do with it, I would have shown up.
We'd still be on it.
You just weren't conjuring enough.
I know. Well, they sunk me to the bottom of the... I shouldn't say sunk because I'm 240 pounds. But they put me in the wetsuit. And I'm not a fat guy, but I'm a huskier guy. I have a man's body. And I went to the bottom of this lake looking for the ghost of Martin Nelson in this old ghost town that they sunk. But, yeah, we didn't find him alive. It scared the shit out of me. We had a lot of stuff happen, didn't we, Nate?
We did. We did. And then you got dragged underwater, and I... sat there on the boat and said, well, I told you I don't go in the water. I guess he's going to drown.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. Leave him there to drown.
Hey, I have one fear, and that's that I do not go in the water ever. I shower with the shower turned on a trickle. Water scares the heck out of me.
Uh-oh.
I smell like it, too.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. When did the sphere of water happen?
Mid-90s, I got bumped by a shark.
Oh, yeah, tell her about the shark.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I was fishing off the coast of Nantucket, and I caught a bluefish, and I reeled it in, and it was half dead by the time it got up. So rather than throw it back and or walk it back to my cooler, I just hooked it to my belt. So pretty much I was hanging chum off of my waist, and a shark came right up behind me and banged right into the back of me. I, in one fluid motion, I unclicked that fish and ran out of the water.
Whoa!
And I have not been back in the ocean since, or in any kind of water, really.
You should have the fear now of fish, not water.
Fish are evil. Well, sharks are evil. Fish just can't be trusted. And water is, it's a different universe. You're not supposed to be there. You know, we can't breathe in it. We can't move in it. We, you know, unless you're an Olympian, you can't really swim faster than a fish there. So get out of the water. Stay out of the water. That's my advice. Nothing good ever happens in the water.
Well, I don't know. Good things do happen in the water. Maybe not to you.
I was going
to
say, au contraire, guys. I lost my virginity in my parents' pool. With Amber when I was in eighth. Anyway.
And you let your parents swim in that pool after that?
No,
nice.
Whatever. Don't act like you didn't do nothing like that, Bonnie. Whatever.
He never.
Anyway, what is?
I don't know what you're talking about, Sean. I'm still a virgin, so
yes,
it's.
Well, I believe that. I do. Anyway,
oh, man.
Bonnie, I gotta ask you. No, you're funny. You're awesome, by the way. You're one of our top, I would say top three guests we've had on this year, Nathan.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I would say she comes in close to Danny Aykroyd. Are you listening, Danny?
Oh, well, okay. I'll take that.
No, but
I'll take that.
How does it feel, Bonnie? This year, 2016, you were voted in the top three most scariest Halloween costumes. How does it feel?
Oh, wait. The top three most scariest Halloween costumes?
Yes, you for Halloween. That's the top three.
People are going as you for Halloween to parties.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous. I think it's fabulous. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. I love to be. I'm a trendsetter. What can I say? Well, James Wan is. He's made up the character. Lucky
and how does it feel, Bonnie, to know that the character you helped to create and develop is so popular and is selling all these costumes and you don't get any of that money?
Oh, I don't get a dime, but I'm honored. I'm honored. I'm absolutely honored. I love to scare people. I'm very honored. I went to this horror show in Pennsylvania, though. Horror con, and I had people that drove across the country to come and meet me. People told me that they thought if they met me, that I would stop, you know, haunting them in their dreams, that they'd keep seeing me and keep seeing me. And people that went to the movies 12, 15 times, and people had little kids there, like 6, 7-year-olds, that their parents told me, my kids, they had to bring them 5, 6 times to the theater. I mean, it was truly incredible.
Well, yeah.
You know, what an honor. Absolutely.
That's when you look at him and say, no, 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 no. I don't stop haunting you now. Now it gets worse.
It's fantastic.
Well, you know,
it really is.
Since we're talking about The Conjuring, sis, when you and I got an opportunity to speak a couple weeks ago, we were talking a little bit about Nathan and I's background, and we've been on the air 10 years come November, and it's a huge honor. We've got to interview people like you. Oh, my God. You know, it changes your life, get to talk to cool people like you. And the thing about it is we started out in the ghost community, and we still do. You know, one week we'll have a lady come on, says she's pregnant with an alien. Next week will be the high... Yeah, I'm serious. Next week will be a high priest.
Did you tell her to just have some gas? Maybe she can go take that.
She has some out-of-this-world gas. No, but, you know, we do all kinds of...
It's because his father was from a gaseous planet.
Say.
That's good.
You guys are just hold on. I gotta get my joke bell out. There you go. You guys are just you guys are a hoot. Anyway, they got the they brought up the God. What was I saying? You guys were interrupted.
I have no clue, man. You're on your own on that one.
Used to, you know, 10 years ago, and this woman was pregnant with an alien.
No, and then one week we had the psychiatrist for the Catholic Church in the United States. You know, he okays all the exorcisms, and so Nathan and I, you know, when I was 13, I witnessed my first exorcism at a Baptist church. I snuck in the back. My mom and dad was there, so I seen this. So for a lot of people, this stuff is real. I grew up in a haunted home. Nathan and I started going out with these people. They said they see ghosts. Of course, we got more than, you know, a lot more nothing than we did something. But we seen enough to know there's something else going on out there. Did any of these kind of things drive you? Because you're becoming a scream queen, okay? You are. Like it or not, your face now is a symbol of evil all across the community.
Oh, cool. No, it's true, because a while ago, even before I did The Conjuring 2, before I did The Conjuring 2, I had done this thing for Rihanna. I am her braille face maid in her anti-diary campaign. And they did this whole thing on the internet where, oh, it's this and that. And I am the face of the gateway to hell. And I was like, yeah. Sign me up. This is before that. I wonder what this person's thinking now. I mean, it's like an hour-long thing saying about how my face is the gateway to hell.
You evil.
You know?
You're so evil.
That's just with the braille written all over my face.
Mm-hmm. But when you were growing up, I mean, I want to talk about that. A lot of people ask you about, oh, my God, Conjuring 2, because that's all amazing stuff. Your career's amazing. You started off in 01. That's when it started with Mulholland. Wait a second. 2001. Earliest credited acting roles, Mulholland Drive.
In a I think it's before that.
Don't you start with me. I searched everywhere for you. You're like elusive. You're more elusive than the Bigfoot. My God.
They actually call you elusive on the website, saying we can't find anything out about her. She's too elusive.
Check it out at frostsnow.com.
I'm very elusive. I'm very elusive.
You are. You're so hidden. You could be like a Colombian drug lord. I don't know. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
Now, how did you start, though? You're growing up, little girl. You're an American actress. And you always, all they say is, Bonnie always wanted to be an actor. Can you take me back to how one of the coolest persons I've ever met started her career?
Oh. Well, I always wanted to be an actress, and I did children's theater, and, you know, went at it, you know, as a kid, as much as you can as you're a kid. And then I went to New York City late 70s.
Yeah.
And I tried for a long time there. Didn't get too far. Did music videos and some commercials and stuff. And then I finally came here.
Yeah.
And I just didn't stop. I don't stop. You know, I just keep going. You know, I have a belief. There's no such thing as failure. It's just giving up.
Yeah.
You know, people never really fail at something. They just give up. They decide it's no longer for them. But I, you know, just keep trying.
Yeah.
Going out there and hoping for the best.
Let me ask you something, though, Bonnie. And it's curious because Nathan and I, we've been doing this radio show for 10 years. We're always looking to go to the next level. Now, we made Hollywood, although it may have been short. We made it right off of this show. And we still do this show. And, you know, you're always looking for the next whatever to make your dream come true so you can make a living at what you love doing, right? Did you ever? I know you did. As an actress, a famous actress like you are now, did you ever reach a point where you had to trust another person? And if you did, how does that happen out there in Hollywood and stuff? How do you trust any of these people? Because they could be frauds.
That was extremely difficult.
Huh?
Yeah, really, really. I mean, trust another person. I mean, like, with what?
You know, like directors and stuff, when they're like...
With your career, like when somebody says, I can help your career, or this or that.
Oh, no one ever says they can help my career. You get a job. I mean, I love to work, so you get a job. Of course I trust the director. He picked me.
Right.
Of course I trust the director. He picked me. And, you know, I'll tell you something, because you're so, you know, it's all about horror and everything here. James Wan, I knew from years ago, because I am a huge fan, and I knew that if one day I got in front of his face, he would pick me. I knew it. I absolutely knew it.
Yeah.
So as soon as I heard, when I got the audition, as soon as I heard it's some James Wan, I didn't even know it was for The Conjuring 2, I knew, I just knew I was going to get it.
Yeah. Did you get the call, or was it open casting, and you just said, I got to be there, or what?
Yeah, it was a casting. I have a manager, agent. I got on the audition, and I knew I was going to get it, because I knew if James Wan saw me, I know he's not stupid.
Exactly.
I know he's not stupid. Exactly. He's brilliant. He's incredible. I love him, and he knows how to scare.
Yeah, and you'd already...
I always knew. There's certain people I know, if I actually get in front of them, I know that they would hire me. They would put me in their projects. They would put me in their, you know, their films, their artwork.
No, and I tell you what, you did Conjuring 2. Conjuring 2 is you. I don't care what anybody says.
Oh, thank you.
And
you know, serious. that music is incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the whole movie, given any genre, that movie is beautiful.
Yeah, it was good.
The production design, everything, the editing, it's magnificent. It is just a beautiful, beautiful film for within any genre.
Yeah.
It's absolutely beautiful to look at.
Well, you know, I told you Nathan and I did that ghost stuff for a long time, and we still do when we can. We go out and see if a place is, you know, spook-filled and try to find out what we can record. But, you know, you got to meet, of course, one of the pioneers in the field of ghost hunting, Lorraine Warren. What was that like? How's Lorraine? And Nathan knows her. And...
I just said, well, you know, I really didn't talk with her. It was just sort of a, you know, a hello type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I did be with the
who was scarier on the set, you or Lorraine? It's
well, Vera Farmiga, that gorgeous woman, she's not scary. Oh, she can act scared. Whoa. Oh boy, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Actually, probably I think in the whole thing the scariest person was Janet Hodgkinson. I met her. And
you met the real one, right? Right, Janet Hodgson, guys, is the one from the real case.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she's quite affected by it all. I mean, she's pretty, you know, she's still haunted. She told me by it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then, I asked her how she's doing. She told me she was so haunted. And then I said, you know, she was getting all emotional. So I said, well, look, at least you gave, you know, the world a lot of entertainment to make movies for.
Right. I mean, how do you respond?
Yeah, I mean, she says it's still happening to her. She says that she never got rid of this evil force. She thought I was terrific as playing the evil force, and she says she's never left her.
See, that's crazy. That's nuts because, yeah. Of course, everybody knew. Yeah, of course, everybody knew in England, Nathan. You remember, you know, people were jumping around. The little girl, they had pictures of her coming off the bed. Ed and Lorraine Warren, of course, got famous here in the United States about the Amityville haunting, which, you know, Conjuring 2 covers that at the beginning. That's where we run into Bonnie at the very beginning, where you see her badass character, the nun. And then it bleeds off to merry old England. And we're on our chase down there. And this was a real case. It's based on a real case. And, of course, automatically the critics come in. Well, the Warrens were only there for 15 minutes. So, no, they were there for a day. And, no, this didn't happen. What do you think about that whole thing, Bonnie? I want to get into your career, but now you got me on the ghost thing. You did this. But what do you think? Because the lady said she still has these demon things. I thought at the end of the movie, everybody's happy and hugging, and she's got three buddies now, and what's going on?
Well, she told me they still affect her. It still affects her, you know?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I believe that if you truly believe something, you know, it's true. So, I mean, in her, this is truly happening to her.
Right. So you're talking about self-manifestation?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, it's truly happened. All I know is that truly happened to these people.
Yeah.
They say it happened to them, and the way it is, truly happened to them.
Do you think
But she says she's better, but, you know.
Well, how do you get better? If there's a demon attached to you, I don't...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, it would be cool if you interviewed her.
Well, let me tell you something. If your nun face was waking me up every morning, noon, and night, I would have a problem.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people told me that it was. I'm like, that's so cool. I like that fucking bitching, man. I love it. Really? Oh, that's wonderful.
You're so scary.
I'm unforgettable.
Of course, you know, this unforgettable role, you're doing all this scary stuff. Surely they've told you everything that's going to happen with the new movie, The Nun.
I know nothing.
Don't you hold back.
Never told me anything.
Whatever, Bonnie.
No. No one's caught. I know nothing about it. You know more than I do, though. I know nothing.
Whatever.
No one's caught.
Suddenly she's turned into Sergeant Schultz.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
I know nothing.
I know nothing.
This is BS. Soon as we do this freaking interview, Time Life will have a whole article or Time Magazine where you're on the front cover and they'll say, Bonnie reveals all on this show. And I'm going to be
saying, that would be nice.
Yeah.
But honestly, I have not been contacted.
Well, apparently we need to tell the fine people at Google. Because your movie's already in production, is what they're saying.
Oh, really?
Well, that's what they say. The internet.
They do? Wow.
Whatever. Well,
and, you know, if it's on the internet, it must be true.
Yes.
Yeah, it's on the internet. It must be true. Well, it's in production already?
Or pre-production.
I know nothing about it.
Pre-production, yeah.
So you heard it here first, guys. Bonnie Ahrens gave us the shaft right here on the Shadow Nation. We got the shaft first.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
That's it. Okay, moving on.
I wish I did, but I don't. They haven't. What can I say? Maybe Meryl Streep decided she wants to be the nun. I should have been contacted. Maybe they're.
Well, she won't need makeup, so that's good.
Yeah. Oh, so bad.
I mean, you never know.
I was doing my research on you because, you know, I do homework and I've stalked you since we spoke last. And I was looking through your window.
I knew I felt something behind me. I knew there was something. I felt something.
I was there.
I felt your essence, your spirit. I felt it.
Did you smell Jacar?
Yes.
Jacar Noir.
Jacar Noir. No.
I can smell you coming.
I swear to God, Bonnie.
You following me.
I'm looking up on like 47 different websites. You're listed everywhere. Just Google Bonnie Ahrens, guys. And they bring up the weirdest stuff. They bring up the stuff that you've done, which is a list. And then afterwards, they're like, her net worth is unknown. And then they say, she's of towering height. How high are you? How tall are you?
I'm of towering height.
That's what it says. I swear to God. Right now, go to Frost. Well, don't do it right now. You're on the show. Go to frostsnow.com.
Oh, well, I'd like to, what's a towering height?
I don't know. Are you like 7'8"?
No, oh, I'm 5'8".
Oh, my God. Why'd they say towering height?
I don't know.
I swear to God, I got that. You are not 5'8".
I'm 5'8".
Oh, my God, I'm 5'9", and I'm short. That's crazy. I went to frostsnow.com, one of the many sites, and I was just checking out stuff about when you were little and growing up and stuff, and it says, towering height. That's all it said.
Wow. Well, you see, these websites, they don't know shit.
Maybe we should. That's a paid website. Maybe we should start our own. We don't need to know anything, Nate. We just put
it on. Exactly. I think you guys should do your own website.
I should. We actually spoke to them.
More than they know.
You know, but what do you prefer? What's your favorite genre? Because you're Smash Mouth with the horror. You already own that. You're the nun. You're the nun. You're the new face. Like The Exorcist was.
I love it. I love horror. Like I said, I love to scare people. It's fun. I love horror movies. It's, you know, it's like a roller coaster. It's very exhilarating.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you get all scared and you laugh at yourself for being all scared. Ah!
What's your favorite, though? What's your favorite horror movie?
That's hard to say.
Uh-huh. Because you might get cast in the remake. Yeah. Whatever.
That's hard to say.
She wants to be able to, when they call her and say, we want to remake...
Yeah,
you know, The Exorcist. Oh, that's my favorite movie.
That's my favorite.
Oh. I do love The Exorcist is incredible. It's absolutely incredible. I think The Conjuring 2 is my favorite.
Oh, my God.
I do. You know,
put
I love
that down
the
as their bumper.
Yeah, I love The Insidious. And I think Saw is pretty freaking, you know.
Oh, they're great.
Scary.
Yeah. Well, Juan's a master. He's the new John. Oh, I'm sorry, John, but he's the new Carpenter, man. You know, that did Halloween and stuff. He is.
He's pretty incredible.
What about growing up, though? Like Halloween, Mikey Myers. I sent you all those pictures of me for Halloween. What about Friday the 13th? Stuff like that. No, on the slasher fix?
Oh, I love it. Are you kidding? I love it.
Right. Are you a classic slasher flick lover or a new slasher flick lover? Like. Yeah. Original Halloween or new Halloween? See, she doesn't want to say. She might get cast in one of the new Halloweens. She's
Yeah, exactly.
See. She don't want to
do it. The new one.
Right. See, that's because she knows Rob Zombie might. Yeah, Rob Zombie's going to call her. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
that would be cool.
It says on one of the many sites... It said on the same site that I should ask you about your towering height of 5'8", that it said she's always dreamed of acting since her early age. Now, we covered that a little
bit. Who the hell wrote it?
I don't know. It's on frostsnow.com. That was just one. Of course, there was some on Dredge.
Really?
Yeah, frostsnow.com. She's checking it out right now. Don't Google it right now, Bonnie. No. But they said since you were little... And you grew up in New York, right?
Oh, well, I grew up in Chicago. I grew up in a lot of different places.
Midwest chick. All right.
See, what do they know? Whoever's doing this thing is really, you know, don't know what they're talking about.
Do you have to embarrass me on my own show, Bonnie?
Oh, yes. Excuse me. I'm wrong. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I did all this homework, and she's like, who wrote these sites? I was going to ask all these insightful questions that never been heard before in any interview.
I can't help it if you're reading from some first-rate asshole that just makes up shit to put it down.
I'm not. I read from like 6 first-rate assholes that wrote these things up.
Oh, excuse me. Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, was there second, third, and fourth-rate assholes?
Well, hold on. I got to ask these other ones. Okay, what is your all-time favorite movie? We got to get the corny questions out of the way.
Probably The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's safe. Why? Was it the first one you seen or what?
I don't know. I just like it. I can watch it. How many times you watch it? It's fantastic.
It is. It takes me back to Thanksgiving when I was a kid. We always used to watch it. It has something, you know?
Yeah, I didn't so like it with the witch and the monkeys flying.
Yeah.
Which holiday did it always used to play around? Was it always coming out around Thanksgiving or was it always coming out around Easter? I remember it used to play every year.
Thanksgiving.
Was it Thanksgiving it came out on?
Wasn't it, Bonnie? Thanksgiving. Wizard of Oz come on TV?
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanksgiving.
And so, yeah, it would play like all day long. They'd play it like six times in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on,
wasn't
Bonnie.
Wasn't that incredible?
You got to sing it with me. Ready?
That on, and then the morning we'd start, they'd play Ricky Tikki Tavi.
I don't remember
that. Play,
mm-hmm. You guys are too
old. And then
they'd
play The Jungle Book, and then they'd play Wizard of Oz all day long.
I was born in the mid-70s. Yeah. Let's keep it cool, guys, okay? I was born in 75.
Well, it's not my fault you didn't get to experience the 70s.
Whatever. I seen bell bottoms when they were going out. Listen, I went to Kmart and shopped in the Husky section when I was a child. All right? Listen, Mom had the hem on my
pants.
See,
there's a difference from seeing bell bottoms, Sean, and having to have worn them. When you had to wear them, it meant that you had to, like, figure out how you were going to tuck them into your sock.
That was
when you rode your bicycle so that you didn't get caught in your chain. It was bell bottoms were horrible.
They're coming. They're back in style.
No, don't say it. I won't believe it. I don't.
They are.
I believe more in ghosts than I believe in bell bottoms. It's
well, you've seen both.
Well, you're gonna see more bell bottoms than you are ghosts. So I don't know.
And that comes from the leader of the pack, the demon Valak.
Now we talk about, you know, I'll tell you, wearing that nun outfit, I'll tell you, you know, why these nuns can be so bitchy.
Right.
Like people, I don't know.
They smack people.
You know,
they're
like, yeah, your ears are covered, yeah. And you got a lot of material between your legs.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
You're
for
a There's a lot of material between your legs.
Yes.
I can actually figure out, finally, you know, I figured out how to walk, and I have to walk, like, you know, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, whooshing in between your legs with all that material if you're not walking, stepping.
Was it exhilarating, Bonnie?
Oh, very, very. Wait a minute. Even to think about it, I'm exhilarated.
I love material between my legs. And no, but hey, Nathan didn't tell you. I went out to Connecticut, and we drove past Lorraine Warren's house. They do this. What was it, Nate? They do this Ghost Hunters Night at her house.
No, they do lots of them. Yeah.
Yeah. And we drove past there. We had just filmed a new pilot for a TV show that failed. But it was, or it didn't get picked up, but we went to Sleepy Hollow out there in New York, upstate. And
wow.
Yeah, we tracked the Headless Horseman, and we did some filming, and we were going to do that. We did this pilot. And the next day, I had a couple days off, and I went to Connecticut, where Nathan's at. I'm in Indiana. Nathan's in Connecticut. And he took me to see Lorraine Warren's house. We drove past there, and then we went to Ed Warren's final resting place. And he showed me the cemetery and the gravestone where Ed's buried. And while we were there in the cemetery, he told me the story of the white nun. Go ahead, Nathan. Take it away.
The white lady who is said to travel between the Enfield Cemetery and the Stephanie Cemetery, traveling down, I think it's Route 57. And people see her all the time. And supposedly she travels back and forth to visit the grave of her lover. And so we're standing there in the cemetery talking. And Sean, take over the story.
So we're standing there talking, and we see these young girls coming up behind us. I think, right, Nate? They were coming. I don't know. Anyway, we got in the car, and we're talking, like, man, how cool would that be if we seen a white lady, right? Not a white lady, but a lady in white. So I swear to God.
It is Connecticut. There's a lot of white ladies here. So.
Yeah, there's a lot of white bread. So, you know, with my hand on the Bible, I swear to you, Bonnie, we look around from Ed Warren's grave. We looked to the left by the, and it wasn't a church, it's like a little chapel thing, but it was closed. I mean, it looked closed, right, Nathan? And there was a nun in total white garb with the white headdress, the white, and it was flowing in the October wind. Oh, my God. Ooh. And we looked away. We looked back. She was gone. Now, she could have went into the church. Or she could
but
have
she
went-
was in the cemetery. So she would have had to walk all the way out of the cemetery, walk around to get into the church. And we didn't look away that
did
long.
Did you go to the church? Maybe she was a very fast-walking nun. Did you go to the church?
I don't believe
we did. We knocked on the door of the church, and nobody answered.
Listen, I don't believe she could walk that fast with all that material between her legs, Bonnie.
Maybe the swooshing was getting her excited, Sean. Yeah. I don't know. But then Sean had
stuck down behind a tombstone.
Sean, of course.
Wait, she was ducking down behind. Oh, I better not say it. And
well, Sean, of course, the second he's got he's got this camera out, the second he sees her and snaps the picture.
My phone.
And then these teenage girls are walking around the cemetery and we're like, hey, did you see this lady walking through the cemetery? And he points to the picture and they scream and run away.
Oh, yeah. They ran away. I said it was.
That's great.
I said it was Valak, the demon
what a
nun.
Great story. Hey. You know, in 1988 or 89, I went up to Tibet because, you know, it's there.
Right.
I went up to the mountains. All these monks, and they're wearing, you know, the long robes and everything.
Oh,
and
you got
they
high.
They would literally just go squat down right there and go to the bathroom. I'm not kidding you. I just thought of this because I was thinking, this is robes, you know?
Right.
So maybe this, you know... This your lady in white wants to go take care of some business. I don't know.
Out in the city.
Maybe you should just cut that right out.
They don't have any potties in the chapel, apparently.
You wouldn't want her to go in the chapel.
So you went to Tibet. I bet you were high the whole time you were there.
Well, the air is very thin.
Yeah.
So you are. The air is extremely thin, so you are, you know, a little, you know, I didn't sleep for days and whatnot, you know.
Yeah. Acid trip.
Yeah, it was lovely. Absolutely lovely.
Well, that's good. So, you know, when you were, you said horror by far is your favorite genre. We all know that you love American
horror.
Well,
I like comedy, too. I love comedy also. I really do it.
Which, of course.
Well, that's important. That's very important, Sean. I mean, we've been focusing so much on, you know, the horror films, we forgot that our target audience would want to hear about The Princess Diaries.
And Silver Linings.
you had to play a villain, pretty much, in The Princess Diaries.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I scared everybody. I scared the children then, too. In that, with the Baroness von Troten.
Oh, yeah. Spooky.
You know, I'm wearing far more makeup in that movie than I am in The Conjuring 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were telling us that makeup's still on you, right? You can't get it off.
Yeah, no, that's from Mulholland Drive. The makeup's never come off. But I'll tell you, that makeup in The Prince's Diaries was more 100 times more than what I was wearing in The Conjuring 2.
Oh, my God. So what's...
Dude, like, that movie came out years ago now. The little girls that were watching it, now they're full-grown women. Do they ever walk up to you and go, are you the Baroness?
Yes.
Do they really?
Yes. All the time. Oh, They love it. They go see The Conjuring 2, and they love it.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Well, that's, you know, that's part of your legacy. I mean, you did The Princess Diaries.
Yeah.
Silver Linings, where you starred with Jennifer
Princess Diaries.
Lawrence, yeah. Bradley Cooper, Silver Linings. Comedy.
One of my favorites was The Fighter. That was incredible. But nothing's my favorite is The Conjuring 2. That's the greatest.
Yeah,
but the Fighter was a fabulous film.
Yeah,
that you mentioned the Fighter to me earlier, and I'm gonna be the dumbass here, and I don't know The Fighter. I never watched it. It's something we normally don't admit to on this show, but I have to admit I've never watched it.
Tell me
a little bit about it.
I watched it.
It's an incredible film. I mean, you'll really like it. It's heart wrenching. It's a beautiful. It's
It's about Mickey Ward.
I don't want to ruin it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a real dude. It was Mickey, Irish Mickey Ward, man. He took on Gotti, Toro Gotti, and it was one of the greatest fights ever. And of course, you had Bonnie in the movie they did, The Fighter.
Yeah, well, I play a crackhead.
Right.
Next to Christian Bale, he plays Dickie Eklund.
And let me just say, your itching was perfect for a crackhead.
Thank you.
Didn't you have a poodle or something?
Yeah, I held a dog there for a little while. But, you know, I think it's the performance in there that was just, it was about, I think it was more, the movie, instead of being about the fight, whatever, it's about relationships between a family, yeah. within a family.
Well, yeah.
And
it's awesome. It's a true story.
Yeah. It's really quite beautiful. The connection between the mother and the son, Melissa Leo plays the mother.
Yeah.
And Christian Bale, there's some scenes in there that was just absolutely mind-blowing.
Did you ever go up to Bale and give him the Batman voice? How you doing today? Did you do it?
No.
Oh, my God, Bonnie.
No, he was very, very, very nice. But, I mean, he was, you know, he was in character. He was, you know, he was hardly eating anything at all.
Right.
He was very nice, Bonnie, because you didn't talk while he was trying to perform. And I understand that gets to him.
Oh, I was going to ask that, Bonnie.
Yeah. I did, though. In between takes, he was telling me what to say. And I had the director giving me another direction of what to say. And he giving me, before we started, what to do.
Oh, my God.
I'm being directed by two people.
Christian, we know what Bale, that's like.
Russell, who's the director. And yeah. Christian Bale's telling me to do right after he tells me before we start to do this. Hey, do this in this take.
See, that's another thing.
He was very nice.
Because we've asked a lot of people, and of course, Christian Bale was known for what? Knocking some guy out, or he screamed at some guy, and the tape was on YouTube. He said, hey, you're talking when I, you know, all this stuff. Have you ever worked with somebody that was unbearable when you're on the set? I mean, just, give me a towel. I want a water. Anything like that?
No. I don't recall anybody ever being like that.
Whatever.
No, I don't.
Really?
I don't recall anybody ever being like, no, I don't.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not listening or something.
Bonnie's like that. You know? They'll say the demon nun screaming at us again. God. Yeah. She wants Cheese Whiz.
Give me that. I'll haunt you.
I'll be in your dreams. Anyway, Bonnie. Yeah. I love you. I could sit here and talk to you all night. And, of course, we were supposed to keep you.
You know what? I love you, too.
No, I love you. We were supposed to keep you for half
hour.
Oh, we're
having a love you match now. Yeah. All right, I'll start counting.
It's a love.
Love you more, baby. No, we've kept you for an hour now. It's supposed to be a half hour interview.
Oh, well, that's okay. You are very pleasant.
Well, thank you. And we need your endorsement so much. So tell everybody around the world. No, I'm kidding.
Dynamic duo.
No, Bonnie. But you know what? When I did that intro, I meant it. Because when we talked for the first time, you made such a huge impression. And, you know, we deal with so many different actors and stars on this show. And sometimes you deal with their publicist until moments before the show. And I had the unique opportunity to get to talk to you a couple weeks ago. And I told Nate, I said, man, this is going to be a great interview. And it has been.
Heck, sometimes, Sean, we're dealing with a publicist during the show.
Yeah, oh, my God. Usually your publicist would already cut in and said, okay, guys, she has to go. Yeah.
That's good.
So what's coming up for the big Bonnie? What's coming on for Bonnie Aaron's next?
Anything.
Yeah?
Anything. I'm ready for anything. Last week I did this short, which was really funny, called Nocturnally Yours.
Yeah.
And that should come up after they edit it.
Yeah.
It was really, really cute, where I play this crazy old lady next door neighbor.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny. Yeah. And it's this young man that dies, that lives next door, him and his fiance, he possesses me. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want, you know.
Yeah.
So he jumps into me. It's really, really funny. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen the end result.
What's that?
I'm sure it is. The director was great. It was made by a bunch of young film people and, you know, up and coming in this town, and they were really fantastic. You know?
Yeah. So you're doing some shorts. You got, of course, The Nun's coming up in 2017.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. But I, you know. Hey, you know, when they did The Conjuring 2, they had finished it. It was completely done, and I wasn't in it. And then, you know, after it was all done, then they decided to change the demon.
Whoa!
Wait! Give us more of that.
Reading all your stuff, you didn't hear this one.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I was not in the original cast. I was not in it, and it was the film The Conjuring 2 was completely done. It was completely finished. Wow. And all of a sudden, they were watching it, and James Wan decided he didn't like the demon he had in there.
Oh my God!
And he came up with this, you know, this new demon of the demon nun.
Yeah.
And then they held an audition, and luckily, I got on it thanks to my manager. He got me on it, and you know, like I said, I knew if I got in front of him.
Yeah,
there are some people I know, if I get in front of, you know, I'm right up on their cup of tea. What can I say?
So I knew if I got in front of them, you had no choice. It's
that's right.
Where did you film? Right. Where did you film that at, Bonnie? Where they said Merry Old England? Where was that? For, Canada or something?
Oh, I filmed. They did. You know, I went in after they reopened the movie up. Got another hangar in Warner Brothers in Burbank. I filmed right here, and I did it like in about 5 days.
Oh wow!
On a green screen, they flew Vera back in, they flew Patrick back in, and we, you know, they did it right there.
Wow, they Hollywood!
Oh, the demon that was in put me in.
Oh yeah. So where can our listeners go and see you at next, Bon, and hang out and have a drink?
Ah. Huh. Where can they see me at? Like, where will I?
Yeah, you gonna do any conferences or
festivals?
Conferences. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll go to one of those horror cons. Maybe, I don't know. I never know. I just, you know, as the spirit brings me.
Okay.
You know, I flow with the wind.
Do you have a web page or a Twitter where people can follow you?
She's got it all.
Oh, I have a Twitter. Well, my Twitter, I have a Twitter, Bonnie Aaron.
The tweeter.
Bonnie Aaron's Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah. But don't send her
And I promise, Bonnie.
I go a lot on Instagram. I'm Bonnie Aaron's one on Instagram.
Yeah.
I promise, Bonnie, I'm fixing the webpage. It will make sure it has your name right on it at this time. I fixed it. Oh, it's all good now.
She texted me this
week.
Oh,
You put the double A in the, or was it the S on the end of my name?
Yeah, my server has to update, but it'll be right.
No, I'm not worried about it. Someone else actually pointed it out to me. I didn't even notice.
Whatevs. Well, we got you on, Bonnie, and you know how much we love you. And anything you need, sis.
Oh,
you can,
I love you guys too.
You can always come back on here. You always have a home with the Shadow Nation, and you can come back on. And could you stay on the line 1 second?
Yeah.
We're going to close out the show. Nathan, anything else for Bonnie before we close out the show?
Well, I had so many more Princess Diary questions, but no, I guess I'm okay.
I know. Oh, my God, man. Bonnie Aaron's the Princess.
Will there be a Princess Diary 3?
I know. Can't wait for that. Mulholland Drive, Conjuring 2. Oh, my God, guys. Bonnie Aaron. Special thanks to all our homes. All our sponsors, Stitcher, Smart Radio, Spreaker, the world's listening. How about you? Check them out, Spreaker.com, Planet Paranormal, Geeky Antics Network, Serious Geek, Silly Fun, GeekyAntics.net, Attentive Home Healthcare, good people willing to help the ones you love, AttentiveHHC.com, the SWL Project, give, share, everybody needs, Nathan,
a little love,
the SWL Project.org, that's right, buddy, they need some love. Anyway, guys, from the haunted back roads of America, that's right. Our valley's going to get you. From the haunted back roads of America, this has been another exclusive G&D show interview. Don't go changing America. You know we won't. Demon Hunter.
Because we love you.
Night, guys.